one more time, clap your hands and give the Lord praise in this house. Anybody in the house head over heels in love with Jesus? Come on. There's four of us. Anybody head over heels in love with Jesus? That's pretty good for a Tuesday night. The psalmist picked up his pen in the 116th Psalm and he said, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. Has he ever heard your voice? He heard my cry for mercy. He said, because he turned his ear to me, I will call upon his name as long as I live. He said, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me, and I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Anybody ever been there? He said, but then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, save me. He said, God is righteous and God is gracious. The Lord is full of compassion. Anybody glad he's full of compassion? He protects the simple-hearted. I was in great need, and he saved me. Listen to what the psalmist said next. I have said this to myself more times than I can count in my life. Maybe you're better than me, and God rescued you once, and you never needed him to rescue you again, but I'm not that good. I've needed him to rescue me over and over and over and over and over again. The psalmist said this. He said, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Have you ever had to say to your soul, be at rest once more? Have you seen that video? I wish that I had it to play for you today. Have you seen that video of the shepherd getting the sheep out of the little bitty crack in the mountains, and the shepherd's working hard to get him out, and he's laboring to get the sheep out? He gets the sheep out, sets him down on the land. The sheep takes off running that way, takes a left turn, boom, right back in the creek. And I thought, boy, that's just like us, isn't it? And evidently it was just like the psalmist, because he said, be at rest once more, oh my soul. Listen, if you've come into this house and you're plagued by sin and you're plagued by guilt and you're plagued by a feeling of unworthiness, I want you to leave this house with the words of David on your lips. And I want you to be able to say to your soul, be at rest once more, oh my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Listen to the next words he pens. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before you in the land of the living. How can I repay all the goodness the Lord has shown unto me? You ever asked yourself that question? What can you do to repay the Lord for everything he's... Can you give enough money to repay him? Can you feed enough meals to the hungry to repay him? Can you clothe the naked enough to... He said, how can I repay all the goodness the Lord has shown unto me? Verse 14, 15, he says, I will lift up the cup of my salvation and fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. And that's why I've come to church on this Tuesday night in Frisco. That's why you've come to church on this Tuesday night in Frisco. You've come to lift up the cup of your salvation and say, Lord, there is none like you. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just. You are a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You are indeed the pearl of great price. You're the greatest treasure my soul has ever known, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And when you find yourself stuck in the deepest, darkest valley of your life, I suggest you remember that he's the lily of the valley. Can you one more time give him praise in this house if you love him? Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated in the house of the Lord today. I have definitely made a note to myself. Have you ever done something you shouldn't have done and made a note to yourself not to do that again? I have made a note to myself. I asked the pastor. I brought this up on myself. He didn't take me there against my will. I told him, I said, man, that barbecue place you took me to the last time I was in Frisco, what was it called? He said, it was called Hutchins. How many's ever eaten at Hutchins? Ooh. I don't recommend you eat at Hutchins an hour and a half before you got to preach. It wasn't good, sound counsel. And then as I'm sitting there, in my wallowing, in my struggle of eating more than a man ought to eat if he's fixing to go to bed, much less if he's fixing to preach, your pastor had the audacity to ask me a penetrating question. Listen, a man doesn't need to be asked penetrating questions when he's struggling. Somebody shout amen. But your pastor, he'll lay it on you. He literally looked at me, Sean King, in the midst of my struggle, and he said to me, "You ever preached on gluttony?" And then he smiled ear to ear and said, "I had never preached on gluttony, and I ain't never going to." Amen. So I'm not going to preach on gluttony tonight. I want to talk to you about some of the greatest news that you could ever be given. I want to talk to you about some of the greatest news that I've ever received in my life. It was the greatest news when it was activated for the first time in my life, and it's been the greatest news every day thereafter. And I want to talk to you about the fact that you and I have a great high priest. If you're thankful that you have a great high priest, somebody shout amen today. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you today from the fourth chapter of Hebrews. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, you can trust me. Verse 14 says this. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," listen to this next phrase, "that has passed through the heavens."
Hallelujah.
You just stop and think about that for a moment. You've got a high priest that just doesn't have a seminary degree. You've got a high priest that's done more than go to Bible college. You've got a high priest that's done more to commit himself to being a Berean. You tonight have access to a high priest who has passed through the heavens. That's an unbelievable truth. I've got my pastor in the building tonight, Pastor T.C. McIntyre, and I am honored that he is my pastor. Several of his kids are with us, and they're honored that he has been their pastor. But listen to me, T.C. McIntyre has not passed through the heavens. You have a wonderful pastor at Friendship Church. If you're thankful for your ministry team here, clap your hand and shout amen. Listen, Pastors Mark and Jan Crawford are absolutely amazing. Brad and Morgan, touched and anointed of God, but I don't think any of them have passed through the heavens. I'm honored to be invited to be your speaker for the week. I hope God has ministered to your life as I preached his word on Sunday morning and last night and tonight. I'll preach for about 20 minutes if the Lord will help me, and I hope it speaks to you. Tomorrow night I hope to speak to you, but I just want to be sure, in case you have any preconceived ideas that are not true, your guest preacher tonight has not passed through the heavens. But the writer of Hebrews says that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Who is he? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us therefore hold fast the profession of our faith. Now we're going to get some more truth about this high priest that makes him so unique. You know, have you ever asked someone, what is your favorite thing about the Lord? How do you answer that question? What is your favorite thing about the Lord? Normally when somebody asks me my favorite thing about the Lord, my quick answer is, I love the fact that he's steady, that in him, the Bible says, there is no variance, no shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many know that's not true concerning your spouse? Shout amen. Yeah, so sometimes you can go to bed with a happy wife. Hello. And you wake up and you don't know what happened over the course of the night. So sometimes she can go to bed with a happy husband, and she wakes up and she doesn't know what. We are not always the same. There's variance in us. It depends upon our mood. It depends upon how we're feeling. It depends upon the pressures of our day. But in Jesus, he is always the same. He is steady, no variance, no shadow of turning. You know what you're getting with him. Jesus is not like a box of chocolates when you never know what you're going to get. Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he's the same forever. And I'm thankful for his faithfulness. That's normally my quick answer. But one of the other things that I love so much about Jesus is his uniqueness. You know, when we quote the scripture and when we declare that he's the only begotten, that phrase literally means that he is unique. There is none other like him. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. There is none to whom he can be compared. For every man that's ever walked on the face of this earth, there's another man that's equally as great. There's no person on the face of this earth that is incomparable. But when you begin to talk about Christ, he is without question incomparable. If you talk about great presidents, listen, you're not naming a lot of the guys that we've had lately, but if you name Ronald Reagan, somebody else can name Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. There are many great presidents that have served our country throughout the years. When you talk about great preachers, I know different people can have their favorite preacher, but even your favorite preacher has peers. There are other people who can preach the word and have the gift of communication just as good as your favorite pastor does. If you've got a favorite quarterback, we're in Dallas, Texas, so let's say Troy Aikman. Somebody shout amen. And if you call Troy Aikman, somebody with silver head on his hair may call Roger Staubach. They are not peerless. There are other people who you can compare them with. But when you begin to talk about Jesus, the Son of the living God, who was born of a virgin, who lived 33 and a half years without guile, without sin, without failure, without fault, there is none to whom he can be compared. He holds the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He tells the sun where to hide till morning. He stands at the ocean shores and says, "Hitherto shall you come, but no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed." We say there's none above him, and that is a true statement, but it's not a complete statement, because not only is there none above him, there's none beside him. If you believe that, shout amen. He stands alone in the solitude of himself. He is the only begotten. He is unique. There is none like him. And here's three things in this text that only can be said of him. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Now listen to this next verse. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we, yet remained without sin." I'm going to preach to you about three things that make him unique tonight. First thing, he's a high priest who has passed through the heavens. Secondly, he's a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Let me verbalize it this way. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. If you're thankful for that, shout amen. Have you ever met anybody that didn't sympathize with your struggles? Listen, Jesus sympathized. He is a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. He sympathizes with your weakness. And then the last phrase that I read to you in this text says, "He is yet without sin." That cannot be said of any other person that's ever walked on this celestial ball called earth. He is yet without sin. So he's passed through the heavens, he sympathizes with our struggles, and he is absolutely without sin. Now, you do not need to put your confidence tonight in Friendship Church. You do not need to put your confidence tonight in the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. You do not need to put your confidence tonight in Pastor Mark Crawford or Pastor Edwin Lipsey, because we are all imperfect. We are not flawless. This is a great church, but this church cannot walk in a spirit of perfection. Your pastor is a great leader, but he cannot walk in a spirit of perfection. But there is one tonight who you can put your trust in. There is one tonight who you can put all of your hope in. There is one tonight that you can tell the deepest, darkest secrets of your life, and you can trust him with. He is a high priest that is like no others, and he can be trusted. If you believe that, shout amen. understand, this high priest is not like the sons of Aaron. This high priest is not like the sons of Levi, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16, that he has not become a priest on the basis of his ancestry, but upon the basis of an indestructible life. Listen, Jesus is not your priest because of ancestry. He is your high priest on the basis of an indestructible life. I love to preach that he's the incomparable Christ, but not only is he the incomparable Christ, he's the indestructible Christ. You cannot deconstruct him. If you believe that, shout amen. Now, the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in this world, and the spirit of Antichrist's mission, his purpose, his assignment, his agenda is to deconstruct your faith. He wants to cause you to doubt what you believe. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, hold fast the profession of your faith. Don't let it be deconstructed. Jesus is a priest, not on the merits of his genealogy, but on the power of an indestructible life. And you cannot take his deity away from him. The spirit of Antichrist wants to deconstruct your faith. It wants to deconstruct your understanding of Christ and who he is and what he means and what he can offer you. The spirit of Antichrist literally wants to rob the deity from Jesus. He wants you to bring Jesus down a notch and not make Jesus so exclusively unique. He doesn't mind if you say you're a Christian, but he doesn't want you to say your way is the only way. Listen to me. Don't let the spirit of Antichrist bring the deity of Jesus down in your mind. Don't let him bring the deity of Jesus down in your heart. Don't let him bring the deity of Jesus down in your profession. Listen to me. Red letters in your Bible. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father unless he comes through me. There is no other path to heaven except the shed blood of Jesus. If you believe that, you ought to clap your hands on a Tuesday night. There's none like him. I love the story. I love the story over in Acts, I think it's chapter 19, where there is a silversmith named Demetrius, and he is frustrated at the gospel message that Paul is preaching. He is frustrated that Paul is preaching, and this is what he says to the people around him when he's trying to get others riled up. Have you ever noticed when somebody's riled up, it's most of the time, it's not enough for them to be riled up themselves. They want to get others riled up with them. Now, I don't know how Pastor Mark handles church trouble around here, but at South Cleveland, if you start trying to rile other people up, I'll help you find another place to worship. Listen, you don't need to try to rile other people up. You don't need to be a do you understand the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat?
Yeah.
What does a thermometer do? A thermometer tells you the temperature. What does a thermostat do? A thermostat sets the temperature. Your pastor needs every church member in this house not to be a thermometer that can just tell you the temperature of a room. Your pastor needs you to be a thermostat and set the temperature of the room. What does that mean? It means, my brother, when you walk into that room with that fedora on, listen, when you got a fedora, you can do it. When you walk into that room with that fedora on, if somebody's talking bad about the preacher, they ought to know the temperature's got to change, because the fedora man is here and he's on the side of the preacher. Somebody shout amen. But Demetrius tried to get the people riled up, and here's what he said to them. He said, man, we got to stop this gospel preacher, because can you believe the audacity of his message? He is preaching that handmade gods are no gods at all. What a terrible thing to preach. That handmade gods are no gods at all. And he can't get the people on board with him with just that statement. So then he goes a little further. He says, do you understand that because he's preaching that, our trade is in jeopardy? Because that's how they made money. Ah, now he's got their attention. Now they're starting to say, I don't like this gospel preacher either. But there's a few that stay on the sideline, and that doesn't pull them in. So Morgan, then he tells them, listen, not only is he saying handmade gods are no gods at all, not only is our trade in danger, but the great goddess Diana that we worship, the great goddess Diana that we pay homage to, the great goddess Diana that we bow before, she is in danger of being deposed of her magnificence. She is in danger of having her majesty robbed. Now, let me help you on a Tuesday night in Frisco, Texas. If you are serving a God who can have their deity robbed, I suggest you find you a new God to serve, because this God that I'm serving, His deity cannot be robbed. His majesty cannot be diminished. You can't take away His glory. My favorite story in all of the Old Testament is when the Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistines, and they take it to the house of Dagon, and they take the Ark of the Covenant preacher and they lay it at the feet of Dagon. And what they're saying is that the God of Israel will pay homage to the God of the Philistines. But the Bible says on the morrow, when the priest of Dagon came to the house of Dagon, they found that their God had fallen flat on His face. Their handmade God had come off the wall, young man, and He was prostrate in the presence of the God of Israel. And then the priest of Dagon did the dumbest thing ever recorded in all of humanity. Now, I know you've seen people do things that you thought was the dumbest thing you've ever seen, but I promise you, you've never seen anybody do anything this dumb. The Bible said the priest of Dagon went to their God and they picked him up. They dusted him off and they put him back in his place. Let me tell you something about the God that we've gathered here to worship. He has never one time in the history of humanity and in the pre-Adamite world, He has never one time needed anybody to pick Him up. He has never one time needed anybody to dust Him off. He has never one time needed anybody to put Him back in His place. Why? Because He has a deity and a magnificence and a glory that cannot be robbed. He cannot be deconstructed. If you believe it, clap your hands and shout amen in this house. I love the fact that we're serving a God that cannot have His deity robbed. Evil kings have come and gone. Wicked presidents have ruled and will rule again. But come what may, I promise you that at the end of the day, when the Lord sets His foot on the Mount of Olives, all will see that time, that sin, that Satan have failed in their efforts to deconstruct Him, for He is the indestructible Christ. And in the words of the angels, the same Jesus that ascended into heaven has descended in like manner, and He is Alpha and Omega. He is beginning and end. He is first and last. He is Lily of the Valley and Sharon Sweetest Rose. And He tonight is your great high priest. If you're thankful for it, clap your hands and shout amen. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 17 says He's a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Earlier in the 7th chapter, Melchizedek is identified as several titles. He's identified as the King of Salem. He's identified as the priest of the Most High God. He's identified as the King of Righteousness. He's identified as the King of Peace. Listen to these words that the Bible uses to talk about this man named Melchizedek. He is said to be without genealogy, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, and without end of life. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is none like Him. He is unique. He is at the same time both priest and sacrifice. And according to Hebrews chapter 8 verse 16, the ministry of Jesus, our great high priest, is as superior to any other minister as the new covenant is to the old covenant. There is none like Him. He is a high priest who has passed through the heavens. You think about that for a minute. He's walked on streets of gold. You think about that for a moment. He's sat beside the crystal river. You think about the glory that He surrendered when He condescended and wrapped Himself in flesh and became like the creature. He is a high priest who has passed through the heavens. Now, I've heard preachers try to convince people that they've went to heaven. I've read books that preachers have written about going to heaven. There's a very popular prosperity evangelist that shared a story and wrote a book and became famous for his experiences that he said he had in heaven. And I've been asked many times in 36 years of pastoring, preacher, do you believe that he really went to heaven? I have no idea if he really went to heaven or not. What I do know is that the Apostle Paul picked up his pen in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, and he said this. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Listen to Paul's next words. God knows. So I don't know if Brother Jesse went to heaven. God knows. I don't know that the extent of Paul's experience in heaven. Paul himself said, I really can't talk too much about it. Only God knows. But one thing that I do know is not Jesse, not Paul, but I know Jesus, my great high priest, is a high priest who has passed through the heavens. He is unique tonight. He is uniquely positioned to make a difference in your life with the glory of the truth that he has passed through the heavens. Now, I'm already preaching longer than I need to, so let me try to hurry through this. But in Revelations, the fourth chapter, John puts pen to parchment, and John writes a few things. And he said, I heard a voice speaking that sounded like a trumpet. And that voice said, come up here. He writes and says, at once I was in the spirit, and before me there was a throne, and there was one sitting on it. How many is glad there's one sitting on the throne tonight? I know we've got perilous days all around us. I know this world is going to hell in a handbasket. I know there's a lack of natural affection everywhere you turn. But the good news for you on a Tuesday night in Frisco, Texas, is John saw a throne and John saw one sitting on it. And 2,000 years later, he is still on his throne. If you believe it, shout amen in this holy house. John said, I saw a throne and I saw one sitting on it. He said, the one seated on that throne had the appearance of jasper. He said, all around the throne, there was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. He said, from the throne came flashes and lightnings and peals of thunder. Now, let me stop right there to help you a little bit. If you're one of these people that like to talk about the intimacy you can have with God, and I believe that God wants to have an intimacy with you, but sometimes I'm afraid when people get to talking about the intimacy they can have with God, that they lose the fear of God. And I get amused when I hear people say, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to run up to Daddy God and I'm going to sit in Daddy God's lap. Let me tell you, let me read this to you again in case you missed it, what's happening out of that throne. John said, I saw a throne and I saw one sitting on the throne, and from that throne came flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. You are not going to sit on Daddy God's lap. Somebody shout amen. There has to be a fear of God. He said that there were blazing lamps round about that throne. He said there was a glass sea flanking that throne from the east, the west, the north, and the south. He said surrounding that throne, there were 24 other thrones, and those seated on those 24 thrones all had gold crowns, and they were all dressed in white apparel. He said around the throne, there were four living creatures. He said those four living creatures were filled with eyes, both in front and in back. He said one of the creatures looked like a lion. One looked like an ox. One looked like a man. One looked like an eagle. He said each one of those living creatures had six wings, and they did not cease day and night crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Then he said every time they cried, which was without ceasing day and night, the 24 elders stood up from their throne, removed their crowns, laid them at the feet of he who sat on the rainbow enshrined throne, and they began to cry, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord God to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and it's in you that they have their being. Then he said, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, and that scroll was sealed with seven seals. He said, the cry went out through heaven from a mighty angel saying, who is worthy to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof? John said, John began to weep. He said, I fell on my knees. I prostrated myself and I began to weep. What was he weeping about? God's eternal plan for man was about to come to a screeching halt because there was no one found worthy in heaven, no one found worthy on the earth, and no one found worthy under the earth to open the scroll. But John said, while he was weeping, that an elder came, and an elder put his hand on his shoulder, and he said, John, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, he is worthy to take the scroll and to break the seven seals thereof. John said, and between the throne and the four living creatures among the elders, I looked and beheld, I saw a lamb. It was a lamb that looked as if it had been slain from the foundation of the earth. He said, the lamb went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was sitting on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord, and they began to sing him a new song. And they sang, worthy are you, Lord, to take the scroll and loose the seals thereof, for you were slain, and by your blood have you ransomed the people for God. John said, then I saw the angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s, and they sang, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, to receive wealth, to receive wisdom, to receive strength, to receive honor, to receive praise. What are you saying, Brother Lipsy? I'm saying there is not a priest walking the face of the earth that's had an experience like that, save Jesus Christ. He is the Lord God of heaven and earth. He is your priest. He is your intercessor. He has prayed for you, and he is a king who has passed through the heavens. Somebody ought to clap your hands on a Tuesday night. I gotta hurry. We're in a mess tonight. Listen, how many of you have got certain people that you'd prefer pray for you above anybody else? Come on. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate anybody's prayers. I appreciate anybody's prayers. But when I'm sitting at my desk and I'm discouraged, if I'm sitting at my desk at South Cleveland and things are weighing down on me, I can turn around to my left, and right behind me to my left is a picture of me holding a microphone and that man right there praying. And I know he's praying for me. I know he's called my name to the Lord, and I want Papa Mac praying for me. I hope there's people that choose me as the person they want praying for them. Everybody in the church that I grew up in, there was an old man named Jasper Hobbs, and he was the one that you wanted praying. Jasper Hobbs sat right where you're sitting, literally in his church, the old gymnasium. There were black scuff marks on the floor where he sat, because when he would get happy, he would move. He couldn't run. He literally had this elephant syndrome. I mean, he was a huge man, probably weighed 450 pounds, and he had elephant syndrome in his leg. He could barely move, but boy, he would get to scraping that old black heel foot on that gym floor, and it was March. And he was the man that everybody wanted to pray for him. He owned a pie shop in Ennis, Texas. And they said half the time you went to buy that, that's why he weighed 450 pounds. It was like that peach cobbler down there at Hutchins. People would tell you that about half the time you went to buy a pie, there was a sign on the door and it said, come back later, I'm in the back room praying. And you could hear signs and groanings and tongues coming out of a back room. He was the man that you wanted praying. I didn't know this, but after I got saved and delivered from 6 years of terrible drug addiction and alcoholism, I just graduated Teen Challenge. God had just called me to preach. I was getting ready to preach my first sermon. Ray Evers was the pastor of the Ennis Church of God. He invited me to preach my first sermon. Man, I am so nervous. I'm a cat on a hot tin roof. I don't know what. Listen, I'm going to preach on David and Goliath, and I don't know what I'm going to tell them, but I'm going to tell them something. I'm fired up, and I'm ready to preach it. Jasper Hobbs calls me over to sit beside him. He said, boy, sit down for a minute. Let me tell you something you've never known. And I said, what is it? He said, do you realize that the biggest drug house in Ennis is one street behind mine? His house backs up. His backyard, his front yard is across the street, separated by one house, and I can see it from my house. He said, for the last 6 years, I would be sitting on my back porch, and I would watch you pull up at that drug house 5 and 6 times a night. He said, I would watch you get out of your car. I would watch you wobble and fall all around in that yard. Sometimes you'd fall 10 times before you got to the door. He said, there's been many nights I've watched you fall in that ditch and you laid in that ditch for an hour or 2 hours and didn't get up. I've watched you go in and out, in and out for 6 years. He said, son, what you didn't know is every time you stopped at the drug house, I put these old arthritic hands on the rail of my porch. I pulled myself to my feet. I stretched my hands towards you. And I said, in the mighty name of Jesus, I cancel that spirit of addiction off of that boy's life. He's not going to die in that addiction. He's going to be called to preach the gospel. Listen, Jasper Hobbs was the man that you wanted to pray for you. But tonight, you don't need a Jasper Hobbs. You don't need a Bishop Mark Crawford. You sure don't need a Pastor Edwin Lipsey. You have a great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. He's indestructible. He's incomparable. He's unique. And he is pleading your case to the Father. Woo! I'm going to help you and skip 25 minutes of preaching. If you want me to help you, shout amen. Y'all pitiful people down here in Frisco, Texas. Not only has he passed through the heavens, listen to this. He sympathizes with your weakness. How many of you will be honest enough to say, you got weaknesses? Huh? If you got weaknesses, shout amen. Is there anybody here that's better than the great Apostle Paul and you have arrived? And you have no more weaknesses. Listen to me. The enemy of your soul will tell you when you find yourself overwhelmed by a weakness. You ought to have this handled by now. Anybody ever had the devil tell you? Listen, do you know how to tell if the devil's lying? If his lips are moving. Young man, I called you a tin man last night and you came back to church. That's tenacity. You an iron man, boy. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. Let me tell you something. Your high priest has passed through the heavens, but that journey of his does not cause himself to posture himself in a place where he does not sympathize with you. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He knows. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to be tired. I'll mess up some of your perception of Jesus. He knows what it is to be angry. He knows. He knows, and he sympathizes. Your high priest who has passed through the heavens sympathizes with your struggles. Listen to this. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Listen to the word of the Lord. He is slow to anger and plenteous and mercy. Somebody say, give me some good news, preacher. He will not always chide. Listen, neither will he keep his anger forever. Listen to this. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor doth he reward us for our iniquities. Woo. Woo. Maybe you grew up listening to an old-time preacher telling you God's going to get you. Listen to me. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Listen to this. For as far as the east is from the west,
Do you understand how far that is? I don't have time. I'm going to tell you. It's 1955. I don't know what that means. All right. Do you understand how thankful you should be that that scripture doesn't say he has removed your sin as far as the north is from the south? Do you understand the difference that it would have meant if it would have said he removed your sin as far as the north is from the south? If you start traveling north right now and you keep traveling that direction, you are going to reach a part in your, a place in your journey where you are at an identified location. Somebody tell me what it's called. The North Pole. When you get to the North Pole, Randy Kaiser, if you keep going, you're no longer going north. You're then going south. And if you go south long enough, you're going to reach an identified location. Somebody tell me what it's called. The South Pole. And when you get to the South Pole, if you keep going that direction, you're no longer traveling south. But you, if the Lord would have put your sin as far as the north is from the south, that meant it could be found, it could be employed and used against you. But he said, I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. And I've got news for you. If you get in a jet airplane today and you start traveling west and you travel for an hour, you work for American Airlines. You fly free. You ought to try this one day. You fly for an hour, Debbie. You fly for a day, Debbie. You fly for a week, Debbie. You fly for a year, Debbie. Debbie, go ahead and fly for a decade. Fly for a century. I dare you to fly for a millennium. And if you start off going west and you never turn around, you will go west as long as you keep on moving. And the Lord has put your sin as far as the east is. It's in a place where it can never be caught. It's in a place where it can never be used against you again. He sympathizes with your weakness. Listen to this. I love this verse. Like as a father pitieth his children. Do you pity your children? You have sympathy for them? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear him. Listen to this phrase. If you want some good news, lift your hand and say, give me good news, preacher. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth they that fear him. Listen to this next verse. For he remembers our frame. Listen, he knows that you are but dust. Just dust. Formed in his hand, clay from the earth. He remembers your frame and he sympathizes with you. You've got a high priest who has passed through the heavens, and that journey did not posture him in a place where he cannot be touched by the feelings of your. He is moved by what moves you. Pastor Lipsy, how can he take my sin when it's dirty, when it's filthy, when it's willful, when I knew better? How can he take my sin and by what authority does he make me clean when I'm so unworthy? It's point number three. Point number one, he's passed through the heavens. Point number two, he sympathizes with your weakness. And what gives him the authority to sympathize with your weakness and not deal with you according to your iniquity and to pity you like a father pities his child and to remember? What gives him your authority? That authority, listen to what it says. It says, we have this great high priest who has pass through the heavens, who sympathizes and he saves. He is a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Listen to this. But has remained yet without sin. And because he lived without sin, he has authority to deal with every sin and struggle of your life. He is your great high priest, and you can trust him with everything that concerns your soul. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Stand to your feet with me. If you've walked into this house tonight and the guilt of sin is weighing on you, I wished I was a singing preacher. Are you a singing preacher, Pastor Crawford? I got some friends who are singing preachers. Matter of fact, one of my closest friends in life, he pastored my church that I pastor now 13 years before I got there. He's a singing preacher. I tell him all the time, you get to preaching, and if you don't feel the anointing, you just start singing. I got to preach till the anointing comes or we're in trouble. But if I was a singing preacher tonight, I'd sing, "There's nothing too dirty that he can't make worthy. There's nothing too dirty that he can't make clean. Because we are washed in the blood of his sacrifice. His blood flows freely and it makes us white." Oh, he is the great high priest tonight. He can deal with your sin tonight. He can forgive you of your sin. He can release you from your sin. He can anoint you to begin to live in the spirit and not in the flesh, so you stop gratifying the works of the flesh. Tonight can be a transitional moment in your existence if you'll look to him as the great high priest. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Boy, let me tell you how much I appreciate. Just worship with me for a minute with your eyes closed. I appreciate this church and the way you've come out for this meeting. You've listened to the word. You've responded. But tonight, I've preached to you about a high priest. He prayed for you in scripture in John, the 17th chapter. He prayed for his disciples. And then he said, "Father, I not only pray for them, but I pray for all those who will believe through their message." Listen, this high priest who is in the heavens, when he was covered in flesh on this earth, he prayed for every person that lives in Frisco, Texas in May of 2026, because if you believe, you believe through the report of his disciples. And tonight he's here. He's both sacrifice and priest. He's willing to deal with every situation of your soul, of your mind, and of your heart. Now let me help you, because I really believe that God is about to touch somebody's heart. I want you to be honest with God and honest with this preacher. I've had you come to the altar after you've lifted your hand every night. I'm going to let this remain personal, just between you and the Lord and this preacher tonight. I'm not going to call you forward on this count tonight. But I want you to be honest with God. If you're in this building tonight, you'd say, "Preacher, there's a stain. There's a sin. There's a struggle that I need the great high priest to help me with tonight. I don't want to be the fool that keeps returning to his folly the way a dog returns to his vomit. Tonight, I need the high priest to release me and let me go free. I need him to forgive me. I need him to deal with the guilt that the enemy has thrown on me, and the shame that he's thrown on me. And I need to just say, 'Oh Lord, forgive me of my sins and my struggles.
And I need him to help me. Just between you and I, if that's you, slip your hand up quickly. Slip your, 1, 2, 3. Boy, you're not alone. Hands are all over the building. We're never alone. We're never alone. Everybody in the house, throw both hands to heaven. I want everyone in the house to say, Lord, I love you tonight. And I thank you for your word. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to heal my diseases, Lord. Lord, I ask you tonight to redeem my life from destruction. God, I ask you to remove the guilt. Remove the shame. Remove the stain. God, I want to come into the holy place. And I want to worship you without fear, without wrath, and without doubting, because you are my great high priest. Forgive me of all my sins. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And Lord, from this day forward, I will teach transgressors your ways. In your precious name I pray. Sing that song of worship.